are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, let's face it. Modern dating can feel like a never-ending swipe fest, right? But what if there is a higher way? For men seeking more than just chemistry and convenience, dating with purpose means looking for character, not just charisma, right? It's about aligning your heart with God, with God's heart, before aligning it with someone else's. And this is what we want to talk about in today's conversation with Mr. Mwai Kumpomola, speaking to us about dating with purpose. My brother, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning and thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us about this subject. I believe that a lot of men out there will be blessed and will be quite interested in this conversation because, like I was saying to the listeners earlier, when you look on social media, it looks like it's a tricky world out there, the dating world.
Absolutely. And as I was preparing for this program, I was challenged myself. This is one of the programs where you have to walk the talk.
Yeah, for sure. So with that in mind, what does dating with purpose look like for a man who's trying to honor God in today's culture?
There are three points that must be put to mind. First of all, there is some level of being intentional,
okay,
and being clear of what you're trying to achieve, and finally making sure that that relationship is Christ-centered, the values are Christ-centered, and this requires going above the norms and the current dating norms and the current practices that are there. There are some 8 points that I just want to run through quickly, okay, so that we bring this into context. So as a man, you need to have a clarity of intentions. Be upfront about your intentions,
okay,
to pursue a God-honoring relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that you avoid playing games or just leading someone on.
Mm-hmm.
Make it clear that you're not just dating for fun or validation, but with the potential of marriage in mind. That's number one. So clarity of intention is very crucial.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. So
yes,
it is very important that that intentionality and clarity of mind is clear. Secondly, it's very important that you pursue character over chemistry. So look for someone whose character reflects on Christ, not just someone you're physically attracted to. And qualities like kindness, humility, integrity, and a God-fearing heart are very important.
Right.
Chemistry alone is not good enough. Then the third thing is in this world where morality is a problem, it is very crucial and very important that you're very intentional about pursuing sexual purity. So set boundaries very early on in the relationship and respect them. Make sure that you're very proactive in avoiding compromising situations. And it is also very crucial that you do not rely on your willpower alone. Flesh will fail you, but seek accountability from God and His grace daily, asking God to guide in that. And fourth one, discernment is very crucial, and I'm talking about spiritual discernment and prayerful discernment about the relationship regularly, alone and together, and ask God for wisdom, for guidance, and the ability to love selflessly and sacrificially, because that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And though this might sound old school at number five, involve the community.
Okay.
Don't date in isolation.
Mm.
Invite trusted friends, mentors, spiritual leaders into your journey. And be open to correction, encouragement, and insights from people who care about your spiritual growth. So it's very important. They say it takes a village to raise a man.
Yeah.
And I feel in this day and age, the same also applies when it comes to Christian dating. And as a man, you also want to make sure that you're leading with humility and love, just like Christ leads, because in Ephesians, Christ says, men love as Christ loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very important to make sure that you guard your heart and also guard her heart.
Mm-hmm.
You be intentional with emotional intimacy. Don't share everything too quickly. Be sure about what's going on. Song of Solomon 8:4, daughters of Zion, do not awaken love until time is right. So protect her heart as much as you protect your own. And finally, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world. So reject the hookup culture, the selfishness that's coming, the idea of that relationships are just for personal gain. Be willing to go into that relationship with the aim of wanting to give and make the other person better.
Mm.
I thought this can be a starting point and areas to consider as we go through this journey.
Beautiful, beautiful. Love that. And so what would you say are some red flags to look out for in a relationship that seems promising but might be spiritually shallow? And I'm asking this because I think sometimes maybe people might have good intentions, but maybe they themselves are not that grounded spiritually. So how do we move forward? Do I look for someone who is as shallow as I am? Do I look for someone who will help me grow, but then maybe I become a disadvantage for them because I am shallow and they're trying to go deeper? I don't know. How exactly, what are some of the red flags that we need to look out for in these relationships?
One of the things I can say up front, I've been married myself. I know how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go into a relationship hoping that you are going to change someone.
Sure.
Only God and the Holy Spirit do change someone.
Yeah.
You can only pray for them and hope that they change. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you need to look out for is if someone has a very inconsistent walk with God, know that as you get deeper into the relationship, that will only get worse unless God intervenes in that kind of a situation. So the question that you want to ask yourself is, am I willing to put up with this for the rest of my life in an event that the person doesn't change, or this is not something I can put up with?
Mm.
So it's very important that you look at their lifestyle. Are they consistent? If there are some inconsistencies you're observing, be assured that they will get amplified and they will get worse the longer you stay together.
Mm-hmm.
If someone that has no desire for spiritual growth, you know, there are people who actually will tell you that, you know, you can't change who I am. I am who I am, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah.
But truth be told, we are all a work in progress, and the maker is not done with us yet.
True.
So if you come across someone who is self-centered, someone who thinks they are right in their own right and they wouldn't prefer any collection or any advice,
mm-hmm.
that's a serious red flag.
Mm-hmm.
We grow from strength to strength. And if you have someone who that has no desire for spiritual growth, that's a serious red flag.
Mm.
And another red flag which is worthy looking at is if you have someone who lacks humility and repentance. Mm. If you are going to wrong each other, there are things that are going to go south as the relationship goes. So you need someone who will be humble enough to say that I'm sorry and be willing to repent genuinely and change their course of action. If someone doesn't demonstrate that from the onset, you are heading for troubled waters, and that's a serious red flag.
Mm.
Look out also for people who like pushing boundaries. You have agreed on X, but they dismiss the boundaries you've set, the commitments that you've made. The E here is that be with someone who is willing to respect God's standards and someone who is willing to challenge you as well. To make sure that you are working together. And finally, this issue of being unequally yoked in vision and calling
mm-hmm.
is very, we take it lightly. I'm not just talking about going out with someone who goes to church just like you.
Sure.
You can be people who both go to church, but still be unequally yoked. So ask yourself, is this person passionate about ministry? Is this person passionate about service, about discipleship? Is he or she comfortable to go out and share their faith? You know, these are some of the things that as time goes, they might look small, but as time goes, they become amplified and they can really destroy the purpose and the direction of the relationship altogether. So make sure you are not unequally yoked. And I'm talking about in vision and calling, not just about going to the same church.
I like that a lot, because I think that's one of the places where a lot of young people have gotten themselves trapped in, you know, unholy alliances in the past, where I think because we go to the same church, then that means we are equally yoked. And yet that's one thing that has been overlooked a lot, that you might go to the same church, but you're not on the same journey. You're not headed in the same direction. So just being members of the same church is not enough. That's not to say you must now go outside of the church, but that is to say that there is, look deeper. And that's why I was also talking about those who might feel that this is a promising relationship, because this person that I'm looking at, this is a good person, and this person is going to help me grow. But we don't necessarily look at ourselves and say, but am I a good person? Am I good for them? Am I good for that person? And then we end up dragging another person in the wrong direction because of that, because we're looking at them as the right person when we ourselves are not the right person. So we're going to get back to this point a little bit later on in the conversation about being the right person rather than just looking for the right person. But before we get there, another thing that's quite rife in our society today, even within the church, is the conversation around sexual purity, especially for young men. I feel like it seems to be a thing where the sexual purity is an extinct animal that once existed many years ago, but no one knows where it is or if it still exists anymore. But how can men remain sexually pure while pursuing a romantic relationship, especially in the culture that we live in today that just bombards young men all the time with, you know, sexually explicit images and content and conversations and things like that?
That's a loaded question. And like I said, this is a part of our program where we really need to be very practical and very intentional.
Yes.
I'll be very honest with you. I'll give answers to this question based on what the Bible says, because I don't think there is any other way that a man can remain sexually pure while pursuing a romantic relationship other than following what the Bible, the counsel that comes from the Bible.
Okay.
So the first one is it's just an amplification of what I had pointed out earlier on, that it is very important to send clear boundaries very early on. Mm-hmm. So don't wait until you are in the heat of the moment.
Right.
Set physical and emotional boundaries together. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 5 says that, "For this is the will of God, and the will of God for every young man, for every young woman," the Bible says, "your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor." So it is very important to decide ahead of time what's the off limit. For instance, you can say no sleeping overs. You can agree on avoiding certain types of touching. So it's very important not just to get the vibe, but trust God's wisdom. And the will of God for any man, for any woman who is dating, is your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And this is key. This is the key, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor. So setting clear boundaries, very important. The second one is to pursue accountability and not isolation. And, you know, Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, iron sharpens iron. So And Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 says two are better than one. So they will either encourage each other or make each other fall.
Yeah.
So you can't just do this alone. So godly brothers, who will walk with you?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the hard questions and remind yourself over and over, find people, accountability partners who will remind you and ask you, why are you dating this person? Why are you doing this?
Mm.
So find a godly pastor, find a godly brother, a spiritual mentor who will help you walk this walk, someone whom you are accountable to,
yeah.
Someone whom you will want to explain yourself whenever you have fumbled.
Mm. Mm.
And above all, the biggest accountability partner of all is God.
Right.
Ask yourself to say, how will I explain to God if I go ahead and do this?
Yeah.
How will I kneel down and pray and say, God, it's me. I have done it again and I have done it again and again and again. Because, you know, God is always watching. So pursue accountability, not isolation. And I'll share a couple of verses which now talk about guarding our minds and our hearts. So you see, sexual sin usually starts in the mind before it even touches the body.
Right.
So be intentional about what you watch, what you read, or what you dwell on. Christ gives very practical counsel in Matthew 5:28, and he says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We already touched Romans 12:2 to say, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." So. It is very important that we guard our minds and we make sure that the word of God and the inspiration that comes from the Bible are protecting us in that space.
Yeah.
The other one is very pretty much straightforward. Flee, run. Don't flee with temptations.
Mm.
1 Corinthians 6:18 is very clear. Free from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but the sin of immorality affects somebody's own body. And 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Free your youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord for a pure heart."
Amen.
We need to run. Like, just run as fast as you can.
Yeah.
There are no two ways about it. And finally, you have to always remember why. You know, purity isn't just about rules. It's about worship. Purity is about honoring God. As a man, you're honoring her as your woman, as you're preparing a foundation for trust. Psalm 19:9, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" And the answer comes by guarding it according to your word. And in Romans 6:12-13, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Offer yourselves to God." So always remember, why am I doing this?
Mm.
Why am I doing this?
Mm. I love that.
I believe if we run through that, the Holy Spirit then, unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us to the Father blameless, he will see the true intention of our hearts and start helping us in achieving the holy walk.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love the reminder that we don't have to do it alone, that we can't do it alone. In fact, that the Holy Spirit gives us that power when we show that intent, when we show that we have every intent to obey God, then he gives us the power to do just that. I love that. And then also when you mention the fact that we need to guard our hearts and our minds, earlier on you said that you need to set those boundaries before you get to a moment of passion. Once you're in it already, it becomes more difficult. It's not impossible, but it is significantly more difficult to turn around once you're already in the heat of the moment. But if you've set those boundaries beforehand, not just together with your partner, but also having purposed in your own heart that, you know, I'm going to guard the avenues to my heart. I'm not going to allow myself to dwell on certain, you know, material, whether that is on social media, whether that's on what I'm watching or what I'm reading. If you set those intentions beforehand, then you already put yourself in a position of more advantage, that it becomes more difficult. You make the devil's job significantly more difficult when you're careful like that. So I think those are beautiful points that you've brought up there.
Absolutely.
But then someone out there is also thinking, this is taking things too seriously, because, you know, a lot of young men start dating, they start flirting with this idea and noticing young women at a very young age. So like maybe 13, 14, 16 years old, like, can I really be thinking about marriage at this age? Can't I just date for fun? Even if I'm not planning to do anything physically with this person, but just because I enjoy her company, I find this young woman attractive and I just want to be, and maybe this is how I learn to relate to the opposite sex. So am I really supposed to avoid dating altogether until I'm ready to get married? What if that happens much later on in my life? Am I supposed to only start dating when I'm now in my late 20s, early 30s, and I've never done it before? Is that reasonable? Is that practical?
That's a very important question, and we're presenting this program on a Christian radio station.
Yeah.
And I will restrict my answer to what I've found. Mm. I have tried to look through the Bible,
mm-hmm,
to find instances of dating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry to say, I can't find any.
Not one.
There is courtship in the Bible. There is courtship in the Bible.
Right.
But you won't find dating in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is one instance that I found which probably young men and young women can emulate from, which is found in the book of Job. If you're reading the book of Job, the Bible records that Job's sons used to have parties in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they have parties in their homes, they could invite their sisters to come and party with them.
Okay.
One of the best avenues that God has given us to learn how to relate with the opposite sex is the kind of relationships that we can have with our own brothers and sisters.
Mm.
People we know we won't be tempted to cross the boundaries and be involved in things that are godly.
Sure.
So if you want to learn how to interact with the opposite sex, talk to your brother, talk to your sister. That's what Job's sons did. You never hear in that story that Job's sons invited women from the land of Uz to party with them and everything. The Bible doesn't record that.
Yeah.
They invited their sisters. And you see, when we truly come to God as a church, in church you have a bunch of brothers and sisters, people whom you can relate to and learn a thing or two. You honestly don't have to go into dating so that you gain experience on how to relate with the opposite sex. I have searched through the Bible, I haven't found such something like that.
Mm.
You can talk to a brother, you can talk to a sister, you can talk to someone of the opposite sex without being emotionally involved with them. And there are certain social skills and certain social practices that we can learn from innocent and honest relationships that are coming out like that.
Yeah.
The Bible encourages courtship, but I have not seen very vivid examples of dating in the Bible. And I should believe that there's a better reason why the Bible hasn't given us that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, as we're wrapping up, what practical steps would you say a man can take to become the type of partner that he's looking for? We're always very focused on what kind of person we want and not necessarily whether we are the kind of person that one would deserve. So how would you say that a young man can make sure that he becomes the partner that he wants?
I was looking at this question when I was trying to answer the issue of alignment.
Yeah.
When we were saying that, how can you tell the difference between a good match and a godly one in Christian dating? And there's some certain principles that can help young men in coming up with the right principles in this manner. First of all, you will notice that a good match fits your preferences, but a godly match aligns with God's purpose.
Amen.
So you would want to be a man who understands the purpose that you have, that God has for you as a young man. And you see, a good match checks your boxes, physical attraction, similar hobbies, good personality, maybe even church attendance. But when you're looking at a godly match, you go beyond the surface level compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at someone who pushes you closer to Christ. You're looking at someone whose life bears spiritual fruit and someone who is running the same race towards Christ. So that spiritual alignment, it's something that cannot be faked. And as a young man, you are the leader, and you want to make sure that you're spending time with God in shaping you into the kind of person that God wants you to be. Because God has a purpose for each and every young man who's listening to this program this morning. So you look at that purpose that God has for your life and see how best this person aligns with that purpose. Very crucial, other than just looking at what's on the surface. The other thing is you need to have someone who is able to share your vision for the kingdom. You need to be able to be very clear and very intentional to say, as a young man, this is how I picture myself before God.
Yeah.
Now, you'll agree with me that these things are serious things. Like, you cannot provide leadership when you don't know where you're heading yourself. And you'll notice that throughout Scripture, eventually God puts a very huge responsibility on the man in making sure that the relationship works. The Bible says, therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one.
Amen.
The one who is leaving is not the woman, is the man. The one who is cleaving is not the woman, but it's the man. So you will notice that there is, and by contrast, it means if things don't work out, the man bears the brunt of the responsibility because he is the initiator, he is the head, he is the priest. Finally, I would say, young men, we need to learn to fear God. Because if we go through the first angel's message, fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, and the seas and the fountains of waters. When you're beginning to date, bear that in mind, that we are living in the hour of his judgment.
Yeah.
And the first angel is instructing us to fear God and give him glory. So ask yourself, how will I give glory to God in this relationship that I am starting? And I'm very sure the Holy Spirit will guide and lead if my mind is in the right place.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. I think we can wrap it up right there. Any final words that you'd like to share with the young men out there with regards to purposeful dating?
So the world is crazy. Mm. And I would say that when you fall, don't stay down. I know there are a lot of young men who are really trying to do what is right in this aspect, but from time to time they fail. Purity isn't perfection. If you stumble, repent quickly. And God's grace is deeper than your failures. Remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And not only does he forgive us, he doesn't stop there, but he also goes ahead and cleanses us from not some, but all our unrighteousness.
Mm.
So when you fall, don't stay down. We have a high priest who was tested at all points, but yet sin was not found within, who is able to sympathize with us and present us before the Father.
Amen.
The journey of spiritual purity in this day and age is very difficult.
Yeah.
My encouragement is, when you fall, don't stay down, and God will be able to keep you from falling. Stay the course, and may God be with you as you go through this journey.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. We're speaking here to Mr. Mwai Kumpumola. We thank you for your time this morning and for your wonderful advice, very practical lessons, and also for your insistence on keeping it Bible-based. We want to know what God says about this situation and about the things that young men are facing out there in the dating world. So thank you so much for your time, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, and I wish you and all our listeners a pleasant day.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.